This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charles Schlenker. Puerto Rico and the Olympic movement are deeply entwined, and the relationship creates political complications for the Commonwealth that is a U.S. territory. Antonio Sotomayor is a speaker at Illinois University's Latinx Heritage Month. He's also the author of The Sovereign Colony, Olympic Sport, National Identity, and International Politics in Puerto Rico. Sotomayor joined us in studio to talk about the relationship that began in 1948 when the Olympic movement was seeking to expand after World War II hiatus and welcomed Puerto Rico as a participant, even though it is not a nation.
It helped to channel some of the cultural feelings of identity, of Puerto Ricanness, of being a separate people than the United States. That happened at the same time that there were conversations between the leadership in Puerto Rico with Luis Muñoz Marin and in Washington to create some sort of autonomous status for the island that eventually ended up in the Commonwealth. That Commonwealth that had some sort of autonomy also carried cultural autonomy and cultural feelings of peoplehood separate from the U.S. And the Olympic sport played a big component to showcase that culture and that feeling of nation.
How did the Olympic status inflect the political struggle for semi-independence?
The Olympic movement, and here I include very importantly the Central American Caribbean Games, Pan American Games, were places to foster diplomacy. Were places to foster, like the Olympic movement wants, which is goodwill. From the start, early on, Puerto Rico represented the United States, not Puerto Rico as such. There was a flag. So nationalists who advocated for political independence, not really autonomy, used those events to do different types of activism. And in 1935, they held the Puerto Rican flag instead of the U.S. flag, and it was a big diplomatic problem in San Salvador. Later in the 1948, and in the process of creating the Commonwealth, Luis Muñoz Marin and the promoters of that status appropriated the flag as the symbol of this new autonomous government, right, system known as the Commonwealth. That really upset the, just put it lightly, the nationalist movement who felt that betrayed, right? But at the same time, it helped to justify, right, and channel, again, those feelings of nation, of wanting Puerto Ricans to express their nationhood in a safe way. So they adopted the flag for Puerto Ricans to say, oh, we are here, we are a nation, we exist, look at us at the Olympic movement. We don't need independence because we have this Olympic movement.
How much has the Olympic movement allowed Puerto Ricans to create a cultural identity?
Oh, big time. Big time. I think it's one of the most visible ways to showcase that a nation exists outside of being an independent republic. The Commonwealth has been criticized a lot and recently in its political structure as being highly subordinated to the U.S. Congress and under the plenary powers of Congress, as legally how it is otherwise known as a colony among scholars. But still, despite that, a very vigorous sense of nationhood exists in Puerto Rico. And Puerto Ricans identify first and foremost as Puerto Ricans who have U.S. citizenship. Nowhere else can you see this better represented than in the Olympic movement. You can see it in Miss Universe pageants, in some other, you know, international, you know, I don't know, festivals of food, culinary things. There's Puerto Rican music represented in different festivals. But the Olympic movement has the particularity that it grows in very tight collaboration with the state and with diplomats because it grew out of these political classes that wanted to foster diplomacy among the nation. So it helped clearly to showcase a nation culture, Latin American, and at the same time participate to some extent in very specific U.S. programs and initiatives to foster goodwill with Latin America as such. So it worked that way, politically and culturally.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're talking with author Antonio Sotomayor about Puerto Rico and the Olympic movement. He's here at Illinois State University as part of a Latinx Heritage Month. Does it seem as if the Olympic status of Puerto Rico complicates the battle between those in favor of statehood and those in favor of complete independence? Does it hurt those in favor of statehood?
It is a brick wall, I'm afraid, for those that want U.S. statehood, because it's so entrenched in Puerto Rican culture. Not necessarily politics, but in Puerto Rican culture, the sense of being is to be able to have an Olympic representation at the Olympic Games, to have a national delegation at the Olympic Games, at the biggest cultural festival in the world. And, you know, even though Puerto Ricans and the delegation might not have hundreds of athletes or be successful, they don't win that much, but they oftentimes win pretty significantly.
Well, they had a gold medal in tennis a few years ago, and that it wasn't even the first gold medal in tennis by a Puerto Ricania. And they've had other gold medals, so they, forgive the boxing metaphor, they punch above their weight class in terms of population.
They have their only gold medal with Monica Puig. They've had other silver medals in boxing, you said it right. They have a good tradition of boxing. But they also can Gigi Fernandez, at the Olympics, she represented the U.S., not Puerto Rico.
She is a Puerto Rican.
There's a big, big controversy over that issue. And many in Puerto Rico do not consider Gigi Fernandez's success, Olympic success, let's put it that way, as a Puerto Rican success. Instead, they celebrate those that have represented Puerto Rico. The Olympic Games provide, going to back to what I was saying, a platform to pool significant wins like the 2004 basketball win, Puerto Rico against the so-called Dream Team with Dwayne Wade and LeBron James and all these other great NBA players. And Puerto Rico beat them by 19. It was only the third loss out of 109 of the U.S.
Big win.
It was an enormous win. And for Puerto Rico, at that time, that day, they would say that was even better than winning gold at any other sport because of the meaning behind of it, right? Not only a colossal opponent, you know, a team that had been beating other teams by 44 points average, and also that because it was the U.S., yeah. Right? With that, let's put it, interesting relationship, many others will say colonial.
Are there downsides to attaching cultural identity so tightly to sports alone?
Yeah. I think that due to the Olympic movement being born out of the autonomous movement that created this commonwealth that has this still unresolved political relation with the U.S., and that it was so well crafted with the flag, with this whole support by the Puerto Rican state behind it, it became what it is, a very strong component of cultural identity without the need of being independence. It's a roadblock for statehood. It provides the fulfillment of national joy and pride without independence, and therefore it might, you know, be okay for many to have it under the Commonwealth. But as we've seen in the last, you know, 3-4 years, the Commonwealth has some deep political problems. It creates more dependency, clearly seen right during the Hurricane Maria, that there was some, let's put it this way, there was a lack of appropriate response by different sectors, you know, not only in Washington, but also in Puerto Rico, as we now know. So to me, it helps to consolidate that colonial relation. It provides an unproblematized view of the Commonwealth because it's okay, no, they have their own representation, they're in, you know, a country, Olympic country, and all these things, while still being U.S. citizens, not having voting, they don't vote for the president, they don't have proper representation in Congress, but they have the U.S. citizenship, and everything appears to be okay. But it's bankrupt the political leadership is corrupt, as we see it this past summer, dependency.
In the fine tradition of bread and circuses, sport can be used to paper over problems.
And in that regard, it became, for the autonomists, a political tool to legitimize, through that show of entertainment, and a very real, powerful tool for identity to legitimize this Commonwealth status.
Antonio Sotomayor is the author of The Sovereign Colony, Olympic Sport, National Identity, and International Politics in Puerto Rico. Latinx Heritage Month continues at ISU October 3rd with a lecture on defending asylum in the Center for Visual Arts October 4th. The play La Casa de Bernarda Alba by Federico Garcia Lorca at ISU's Westhoff Theater. Various other events as well. The keynote lecture October 30th, Latinx Queer Brown Voices by Salvador Vidal Ortiz of American University on November 4th. Award-winning journalist Soledad O'Brien will speak at the Latino Cultural Dinner.